Dear Lord God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are now able to come to you in this way, to have your word opened up to us. And we pray that as we hear this message this evening, that you might speak to us through your word and through your spirit. Give us understanding, we pray. And if there are distractions that we've had in this past hour or so, may you be pleased to remove them from us and help us to focus on what is really important, and that's your word. I also pray that you watch the words of my mouth, that they may be faithful and honouring to you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for those who are observant, you may notice that we have skipped a few Lord's Days since I last was in the pulpit. And the reason for that is that the last one we had was to do with baptism. And we've just had a message on baptism. So what we're doing this evening is moving across to the Lord's Day that first deals with the second sacrament, and that's to do with the Lord's Supper. And it's Lord's Day 28. And this message was originally penned by the Reverend John Haviland. But before we do that, let's turn to the text this evening, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll be reading verses 17 to 26. So, as you're probably well aware, the Apostle Paul was the one who wrote this letter. It was quite a long letter to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians was a church that Paul had a lot of dealings with, and things that he was seeking to correct in their life and doctrine. And believe it or not, that is a fantastic blessing to the church of all ages, because problems occur in churches and we have guidance on how they should be addressed. And this evening, what we'll be reading, of course, is a section where there was a correction being made to the practice of the Lord's Supper. So let me read that for you. It's, as I said, we're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're commencing at verse 17 and going through to 26. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because you, when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worst. For, in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you for this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So that's it. And the text will be verses 23 to 26. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's Supper is a very familiar celebration for us. We observe this regularly together as a church. Sometimes repetition can dull the meaning of a ceremony. You know the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. This can happen even with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So it is good for us to pause and ask, what are we doing here? What does this mean? What should we be thinking about as we take part, or if we're witnessing this event? The church in Corinth celebrated the Lord's Supper together, but the members did not understand what it meant and did not appreciate its significance. For them, it was not a reminder of their unity in Christ, but rather a display of their disunity and their disregard for each other. Paul sought to correct these abuses by this profound and clear explanation of the essential meaning of the sacrament. So this evening we're going to see that the Lord's Supper involves two main things. Firstly, a remembrance, and secondly, a proclamation. So turning to our first point, it is a remembrance. Paul reminded them that Jesus had instituted this supper on the night he was betrayed, on that Thursday evening in Jerusalem, when he celebrated his last Passover meal with his disciples. The Passover was an annual celebration of the Jews. They remembered the day they had left Egypt, the night the angel of death had put to death the firstborn in every home in Egypt, but passed over the homes of the people of Israel, where he saw the blood of the lamb, of a lamb on the doorframe of the house. From that Passover meal, Jesus used two elements to help them and us to remember him. And our first element of that is the bread. The Jewish Passover was part of an ordinary meal. The meal always began with the head of the house giving the traditional blessing over the bread, breaking it and giving it to those at the table. In the Passover meal before his death, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body." There has indeed been a lot of debate over this phrase. Roman Catholics believe that when the priest says these words, the bread actually becomes the body of Christ, even though it still looks like and tastes like ordinary bread. This is the doctrine of transubstantiation. It teaches us that there is a change in the substance of the bread. The Reformers rejected this and taught that the bread represented the body of Christ. It is a symbol of his crucified body. This is how we understand these words. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you." Through the history of the world, there have been many people who have given their lives for others. Every city and town in Australia has a memorial to soldiers who gave up their lives for the sake of their family and their country to fight for justice and peace. Every year we remember these men and women on Anzac Day. But the death of Jesus was unique. His death, by itself, achieved infinitely far more than the deaths of all the soldiers of all of history put together, because he died to satisfy the wrath of God against sinners. He died to bear the punishment of hell for all those who believe in him. He died to cover over the sins of all believers. He died in our place as our substitute. If you trust in him, he died for you. If you recognize him as your Lord and Saviour, then this bread represents his body, which is for you. Is that what you believe? That when you partake of the bread, you are to receive a symbol of the body of the Lord given for you? Will you receive this by faith? Do you trust in the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus as a payment for your sins? Further, it is for you also to partake of spiritually. The supper is actually a feast, a spiritual meal for those who are in Christ. In communion with him, they are spiritually fed, nourished and refreshed in their souls, strengthened in their faith. 1 Corinthians 10 verses 16 to 17 calls it a united, or it's a spiritual sharing in the body and blood of Christ. There's a blessed communion with him, a real communication of his saving benefits to those whom he has redeemed. This is received by faith, with our most holy faith being strengthened. This sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a supplementary means of grace. Truly, here we may rejoice with the psalmist, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Psalm 34 verse 8. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Dear sister, when your husband dies, you remember his death, don't you? Dear brother, after your wife dies, you remember her death. Perhaps you remember the death of your child. He or she may have died many years ago, but it can seem like yesterday. Sometimes we remember the death of a loved one by visiting his or her grave. We will go to the cemetery and walk around the tombstones, reading the inscriptions. Often there will be flowers by the headstone of graves. Family members have placed them there to remember the death of a loved one. But when Jesus commanded us to do this in remembrance of me, he did not have these practices in mind. To remember him is vastly different. When we visit the grave of a loved one, we are remembering someone who has died and is gone. We won't see that one on earth again. When we remember the death of the Lord Jesus, we are remembering someone who has died and is now alive. Jesus knew he would die and then come to life again. On the late afternoon of Friday, he was carried dead into the tomb. But on the Sunday morning, he walked out alive. When Jesus commanded us to remember him, he spoke as the living one, the one who was raised and is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Eating the bread helps us to remember his sacrificial death. It prompts or jogs our memory. It reminds us of what the Bible teaches us. We have this with other events and places. You visit a certain place, or you go to a particular restaurant, or you play a game with your family, and it reminds you of things that have happened. Jesus has given us the Lord's Supper to help us recall his death and what this means for us. It is a memory by association, and what a blessed association that is. The same is true of the second element, the symbol of the wine, where Jesus said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." The cup Jesus referred to was the third cup of the Passover, taken at the end of the meal. The cup represented the new covenant. A covenant is an agreement. The primary covenant mentioned in the Bible is the agreement made by God with his people. God promised a relationship with himself. "I will be your God, and you shall be my people." This is the central promise that runs through the whole Bible. There is one covenant, but in two parts or two phases, an old and a new. The covenant was made in his blood. In the old covenant, there were many blood sacrifices. These were made as payments for sin, because the blood represented life. Every day, morning and evening, a lamb was sacrificed at the temple. At every Passover, thousands of lambs were killed. Every year, the people of Israel brought endless sacrifices to atone for their sins. They had to keep doing this, month after month, year after year, because the blood of bulls and goats could not actually pay for sin. You see, these sacrifices pointed forward to the true Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus. These sacrifices pointed forward to the new covenant in Christ's blood. He was, is, both man and God. Jesus paid for our sins because he was human like us, yet, as God, he was perfect. The cup of wine represents this new covenant in his blood, which fulfilled the blood sacrifices of the old covenant. This is what Jesus wants us to remember with this cup. "Do this, whenever you drink of it, in remembrance of me." Every time we drink the wine, we remember that we live in this period of the new covenant. We live in the year 2024 AD, Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord, of our Lord. We have the great privilege of knowing Jesus as Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, and on the third day rose again from the dead. He is a risen and living Lord. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we remember all this. We are reminded that he did this for all who believe in him. Jesus gave us this sacrament so that we can bring all this to mind. "Do this in remembrance of me." So let us now turn to our second main point. The Lord's Supper is also a proclamation. Verse 26 we read, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. The word whenever does not tell us how often we should celebrate the Lord's Supper. Most Anglican churches have a weekly communion, but there are some Presbyterian churches who celebrate it once a year, whereas here in Canberra we celebrate it once a month. Jesus did not tell us how frequently we should celebrate the sacrament, but he clearly told us we should do this regularly. Every time we do so, we proclaim the Lord's death. The word proclaim means to testify, or to acknowledge, or to confess. Sometimes it's translated as preach. It is like our confessions of faith. In the words of the creeds, as we say the words of the Apostles' Creed, we proclaim what we believe. So too, in the Lord's Supper, in words and actions we declare our faith in the death of the Lord Jesus. We proclaim his death to ourselves and also to others. The sacrament is a visual word. The words of the Lord's Supper are very important. The sacrament should not be celebrated on its own without the reading and the preaching of God's word. Whenever we celebrate, there must be an explanation of what we are doing in the preaching and in the reading of a form. Notice that we proclaim the Lord's death and what this means to us and for us. We proclaim what we believe about Jesus. We announce our trust and confidence in him. We declare our connection with him. We commune with him. In eating the bread and drinking the wine, we acknowledge that we are united with Jesus in his death and resurrection. We recognize that this has significance here and now, today, in our present life situation. We declare that our sins are forgiven through his death. And we believe that just as physical meal gives us physical strength, so too this spiritual meal gives us spiritual strength. The Catechism explains that Jesus nourishes and refreshes my soul for the eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood, which is what we recited in Question and Answer 75. We proclaim all this about the Lord's death and his resurrection. This means that if you do believe in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you should be seeking to take part in the Lord's Supper. Actually, Jesus commands us to. If you are a regular visitor, you should be seeking to join as a member of the church. If you are a baptized member, you need to work towards professing your faith so that you can be a communicant member and take part in this communion. Finally, the Lord's Supper is a proclamation of the Lord's death until he comes. This phrase recalls the words of Jesus at that last Passover meal when he said, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom," from Matthew 26:29. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we look back to the cross of Christ, but we also look forward to his second coming. We remember his death, and we anticipate his return. This sacrament is the link or the connection between the beginning and the end of this present age. It reminds us of what has happened, and it looks ahead to what is still to come. The Old Testament Passover was actually like that. It looked back to Israel's deliverance out of Egypt. It recalled that the angel of death had passed over their homes. It reminded them that the firstborn in those homes had been spared. But it also looked forward to the true Passover lamb, to its fulfillment in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Every time, as we celebrate this sacrament, as Lord willing we'll do next week, we look forward to the day when it will be fulfilled in the wedding supper of the Lamb, as outlined in Revelation 19, verse 9. We eagerly await the return of the Lord Jesus. This is a familiar sacrament, but it is so rich in meaning. We remember the death of Jesus, and we proclaim our faith in him until he comes again. As we eat the bread and drink the wine, we remember the body and blood of the Lord. And as we do this, We express our faith in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus and our certain hope of his return. We are so privileged in this celebration to be enabled to commune with our Saviour and with each other, and to be built up, strengthened spiritually by this wonderful means of grace. Praised be his name. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord God and our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful line of truth that runs from the Old Testament through to the New Testament in regard to the Lord's Supper, where the people in the Old Testament were celebrated the Passover, remembering their deliverance from Egypt and from slavery, and looking forward to a promised Saviour that would come, who would be the one who would pay for their sins. And with the blood, so much blood being shed, a reminder of the gravity of sin and the need for it to be paid for in some way. And we know that the blood of those animals did not actually pay for the sin, but it symbolised what was to come, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being shed as the perfect sacrifice for all sins, for all people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you that we have this command of Jesus to remember his death, and that we are to regularly celebrate this until he comes again. Please help us to appreciate the significance and the meaning of the Lord's Supper as both a remembrance and a proclamation. May we be spiritually fed as we partake in faith, we pray, and look forward to next Sunday when we can do this again. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.